There it is, straight on, bold and clear. If any faith-based group, including schools and charities, and perhaps even companies like mine, do not follow, that is, dissent from, settled, public policy on matters of race or sexuality, including the gay agenda, and of course gay marriage, we will do everything possible to abolish or greatly diminish tax-exempt status. In short, putting them out of business. Talk about a legal war soon to come, not on the private side, but an angry, activist, aggressive federal government, at least as long as Obama's president, and the feared and biased IRS at work against the churches and all such who don't accede to and accept the gay agenda. I wonder about your church or synagogue or even mosque. Will the IRS, with all of its muscle, ever dare to take on the Roman Catholic Church, forcing it to comply with settled public policy and threaten to strip the Catholic Church of its tax-exempt status because it would not endorse or perform gay marriage? Boy, what a battle that would be, would it not? I bet those four liberal justices on the Supreme Court would be thrilled to see this kind of legal action and dissent, no matter that Justice Kennedy has promised full protection for such dissent. And when that litigation winds its way back up to our Supreme Court, those four justices don't even have to look at the issue or the legalities, but merely vote like lemmings in lockstep to expand the gay agenda. It is, as one writer stated, America upside down. In fact, opposing conduct, dissenting conduct, has already begun. There are clerks and marriage license offices in various states that have refused to issue marriage licenses to gays. In Tennessee, an entire office of clerks has resigned as a result of refusing to issue licenses for gay marriages. Decatur County Commissioner David Burroughs had nothing but praise for the clerks. He said, "I am proud of them that their faith is so strong and well-rounded that they feel they can do that." People of faith at work, living out their faith, following God's law, as said one clerk who indicated she wasn't worried, "I honestly believe God will take care of it." Beautiful. What a testimony of faith. I honestly believe God will take care of it. Kentucky clerk Chris Cockrell indicated that he will not change his beliefs and issue marriage licenses to gays. He said that if that means going to jail, so be it. In reply to Cockrell's statement, a Kentucky law professor indicated that two things can happen if a Kentucky clerk won't issue a marriage license to a same-sex couple. They can resign or go to jail or be fined in addition to spending 1 year. Did you hear that? 1 year in jail for standing up for your beliefs and your faith. This Kentucky clerk, if he does not issue a marriage license, must resign his position, which he refuses to do for now, or go to jail, which he says he is willing to do. When we talk about people of faith, this man, in my opinion, is at the top of the list. What Christian courage. But no matter, the left marches on. The target, of course, is more evisceration of the First Amendment. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat from Wisconsin, on MSNBC, of course, MSNBC, has set her sights on men and women of faith. Baldwin thinks that there are clear limits to the exercise of that faith, and in her view, constitutional protections essentially exist, get this, within the four walls of a church. That's all. She says some haunting words, Senator Baldwin does. "I don't think it extends far beyond that." Wow. Watch out, people of faith. And yet another liberal radical senator from the once great state of Wisconsin who seems to care little about the First Amendment protections for freedom of religion and speech. Watch out for her. Baldwin. I bet yet another offering plate gifting that Baldwin would be in the lead with respect to any legislation which would abolish or restrict the tax-exempt status of religious institutions which fail to abide in full by the requirements of the newly minted constitutional right for gay marriage and consequently the gay agenda. And more from a Mississippi state clerk in the Office of Marriage Licenses, one Linda Barnett. Miss Barnett said that after 24 years of service, there was now a choice between her job and her faith. But for her, a no-brainer. Barnett said the following, "My final authority is the Bible. Christians are being put to the test. We are going to see the true Christians who stand. It's going to be time to stop talking the talk. It's going to come down to walking the walk. Amen, Marriage License Clerk Barnett. Amen. You go to the top of the list of real people of faith who will stand up for freedom of religion and real constitutional rights enumerated and fashioned in our great Constitution, and not a fabricated one by five black-robed human beings run amok. In Louisiana, Governor Bobby Jindal, one good man, is about the business of protecting religious liberty. Jindal is determined to build a legal firewall around religious liberty through legislation and governor action, and challenges the left to sue. You can be certain that Jindal will hear from the ACLU and other liberal and radical organizations, and Jindal encourages them to bring it on. Jindal jabs at them, saying, "The left likes to pick and choose which liberties they support at any given time." Amen to that. And then there is Representative Raul Labrador, Republican from Idaho, Labrador, who stated as follows, "This marriage ruling means we must speed action on the First Amendment Defense Act by me and Senator Mike Lee of Utah to protect religious freedom. Bring it on, Representative Labrador." And that is not, he says, simply for Protestants and evangelicals, but for Orthodox Jews and Catholics as well, for all people of real faith. Watch out for this act. It's a winner. And then there is Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who is taking swift steps to shield the state from the government's retribution. Paxton states, "This newly minted federal constitutional right, to same-sex marriage can and should peacefully coexist with long-standing constitutional and statutory rights, including the rights to free exercise of religion and freedom of speech." Sounds good. Paxton even went so far as to give public officials the right to opt out of same-sex marriage, and advise them that numerous lawyers were ready to provide representation if necessary. Good for him, and good for those right-thinking lawyers. They rise up to the very top of the list of the faithful in the fight. It looks like Solicitor General Donald Verrilli, in his avowed attempt and threat to strip the tax exemptions from faith-based groups, has a real fight on his hands, don't you think? Boy, I sure hope so. By the way, that man works for President Obama. Interesting, isn't it? But the pastors of churches and their congregations are already preparing themselves for the legal storms which lie ahead. They are calling insurance companies to see what kind of insurance coverage they may have if they are sued for not performing same-sex weddings. They want to understand whether or not they have liability insurance coverage in that regard. Unfortunately for most, if not all, they do not have that coverage, and they are on their own. You can bet your very next offering plate gift that these churches will be sued and their tax-exempt status threatened, if not eliminated, and along with it, the deductibility of that very offering plate gift of yours and mine. Our gifts, our charitable gifts to these churches, will not be deductible as they are now. The fight for religious freedom, my fellow Americans, and for religious freedom of speech has only just begun. But it is here. It is here. And now comes the call to the faithful to fight the fight of faith and to walk the walk. No more talk. I'm in. Are you? Are you? And then there is the Bisbee Baptist Church in Texas. The pastor, Freddie Matthews, put the following message on his church marquee. "Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right." Almost immediately, vandals painted over the sign with profanity. Pastor Matthews regards gay marriage as immoral. He preaches aggressively against that. But not just that, all immorality as he sees it, so he states. That is, for any conduct outside of God's design for marriage, whatever that is. You can be sure this man is on the liberal, radical radar screen of the left, and sooner or later they will come after him. I bet they will. And then there is California Pastor Jim Garlow, God bless him, who made headlines for standing before his congregation with a copy of the court's marriage ruling in one hand and his Bible in the other. Said the Reverend Garlow, "It is time to decide. It is time to decide," as he threw the Supreme Court ruling to the ground. Standing only with the Bible in his hand, Garlow said, "This is who I stand with And I with you, Reverend Garlow. I sure stand with you, my friend. Where do you stand, my fellow American? And then there is one good, strong, right-thinking, solid Christian pastor, Jack Hibbs. This good man, Christian tough, has never shied away from the marriage debate. Jack Hibbs, courageous and daring, blasted the Supreme Court justices for tearing out the heart and the soul of the Bible with respect to God's definition of marriage. Pastor Hibbs said the following, "They raised the flag, and they said, Christians, stay out of it. This is a political issue, and Christians and America, led by weak, pathetic hirelings in the pulpits." Once again, weak, pathetic hirelings in the pulpits backed down and went into their little cloisters and hid out. And hid out. Wow. What a powerful and right-on statement, Pastor Hibbs, and what a challenge to your fellow pastors. Thank you for taking the courageous lead and speaking the truth. Indeed, marriage radicals, in fact, raised the flag and have now ordered Christians to the sidelines. And the weak and wimpy Christians and their pastor leaders, in Hibbs' words, the pathetic hirelings in the pulpits, have backed down and they refuse to take up the cudgel. The Christians and their leaders, he said, have gone into little clusters. In the closet! In the closet go these pastors, and they hide out. What an upside-down world, is it not? Where gays have come out of the closet, and Christians have taken their place in the closet. The right-thinking Jack Hibbs has thrown down the gauntlet to pastors everywhere to stand up, fight the fight, be true to the Word of God, which they represent and believe in, so they say, and fight the fight of faith and marriage. Fight it! Work well done, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Well done. I am one with you. And more from courageous Christian leaders and pastors. Jonathan Falwell, pastor at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Virginia, said the following, "I've said it before, and I'll say it again here today, just to make sure that we are clear. At Thomas Road Baptist Church, there will never be a same-sex marriage or any other form of marriage outside of between one man and one woman conducted at this church so long as I am your pastor." Of course, the crowd erupted, as it would everywhere if pastors would stand up and courageously defend and indicate to their congregations that they will fight the fight of faith no matter the cost. Christianity in America desperately needs the younger pastors to take a stand and join the pushback, as one writer called it, against these constitutional onslaughts and absurdities. If, especially, these new leaders and pastors are little more than, as Pastor Jack Hibbs stated, pathetic hirelings in the pulpits, and in fact bow out of the culture wars, Christianity fights back with one hand tied behind its back. And you should urge your pastor or your priest or your rabbi to fight back. And yet another response, a loving one from Bishop E. W. Jackson, who spoke in behalf of a hurting Christian culture. And he said, "People think we are angry, but really, we are broken-hearted. It ought to make us weep that so many have hardened their hearts toward him, toward God." Well said, Bishop Jackson, well said. We should weep indeed, even as we stand and fight. And then there is Appellate Justice Janet Rogers Brown, who expresses grave concern over the usurpation by the judicial branch, and especially the Supreme Court, making law instead of interpreting it. "The government and the courts," Justice Brown says, "have taken over the role of the church, imposing its own orthodoxy on the people. Orthodoxy," she says, "has been rehabilitated, and dissent from a government's determination may be quelled through coercion, onerous fines, or banishment from commerce and the public square." Well said. Justice Brown condemns activist judges who make law, and especially this law, Obergefell and gay marriage. "In short," says Brown, "the government and the courts are establishing this new kind of orthodoxy, and that will in fact prevent dissent. And certainly conduct which opposes the government's determinations, and these dissenters can expect fines, imprisonment, and certainly banishment from commerce and the public square." In essence, Brown says that the court is moving toward a clear definition of the exercise of religion only within church walls and on church property and not outside thereof. They're moving in that direction. I think she's right. Right-thinking judges and justices know that the courts in the majority are operating, legislating, and creating judicial fiat in matters for which the court is neither qualified nor authorized to do so. No power to do that. Make no law. The government and the courts indeed are taking over the role of the church. It's wrong. Senior pastor of Times Square Church, Carter Conlon, urged pastors to join with people of faith and make prayer a priority as real energy for this fight now here and more to come. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, pastor of Chicago's Moody Church, so well stated that even as, I love this one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face the fiery furnace, so also must pastors be willing to preach the truth and submit themselves to God's law. Life, Lutzer said, is short, and eternity is long. Let us remain faithful to God no matter the cost. No matter the cost. And so we deal with the Supreme Court and its rulings in Obergefell, and the Affordable Care Act, which fully abandons the text of the Constitution and institutionalizes subjectivism. That is, the thinking and wisdom of the justices, no matter the words and specific demands of the Constitution. We now live in a day and age of constitutional revision. Those revisions through a so-called organic and living constitution are determined by the 9 lawyers on the Supreme Court, unelected and without accountability. You can be sure there will be civil disobedience and cultural wars in America like never before. It will be most interesting to see who the real Christians are, the real Protestants, the real Roman Catholics, the real Jews who believe in the Bible and especially the Torah, and who are willing to stand tall for their religious convictions. It will be equally interesting to see those who are ready and willing to compromise, or withdraw, or go back in the closet, or refuse to fight the fight of faith, wimpy pastors. The battle has begun. How will you fight the battle, or will you? Many won't. Far too many for lack of courage and real belief, and fear of persecution and penalty. But Christians are told in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Messiah Jesus will be persecuted, and indeed they will. Are you willing to endure persecution, whatever its form? And there are the same admonitions in the Torah for all Jews and Christians as well. Jews are fully accustomed to persecution just because they are Jews. The right-thinking and believing Jews, and not merely the Orthodox, stand up and fight the Jewish fight of faith. Will you? Time will tell. We are told by Justice Kennedy of the Supreme Court that we who disagree with Obergefell and the decisions regarding the Affordable Care Act have the right to dissent, to freely express our opinions and our disagreements as people of faith. You can bet your very next offering plate gifting that the radical left will claim any such dissenting speech as, ready for this, hate speech. And of course, more litigation. You can bet that a radical IRS, extremely biased to the left, will come after churches and other religious entities threatening to do away with tax-exempt status. You can be certain that the ruling of the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled that birth control was more of a compelling interest. Did you get that? Birth control is more of a compelling state interest than religious liberty. That will only grow and compound the country over so that more and more any compelling state interest will trump religious liberty and result in the erosion of, or eventually the elimination of, true constitutional religious freedom. So, my fellow Americans of any faith, real people of faith, and my fellow Americans without faith, but real and true constitutionalists, believing sincerely in the rights of religious freedom and the exercise thereof, and free speech, including religious speech, which side are you on? Will we the people have a government and a judicial system which in ever-going fashion becomes more despotic, telling us how to live, eroding our freedoms, and otherwise producing a government orthodoxy, or will we stand up and proclaim to the 545 people who rule us, President, House, and Senate, and Supreme Court, and say, enough is enough! Enough is enough! Will we have the courage to civilly disobey and fight back, and aggressively going about the business of changing America back? Will you? Back to the great America it once was, free in every way to live democratically, and live the life America was meant to afford. Will you? Will you? I wonder. I can hope. But I know what I will do. I am ready at any time to lay my all on the altar and do what is required by my faith and my love for this great country and these constitutional freedoms. I know what I will do. What will you do?